Welcome to Why We Marathon, a podcast diving into the deep motivating factors for why people choose to run marathon races. Please welcome today's guest, Roxanne Baggett. How are you doing today, Roxanne?
I'm great, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining me. Just a few demographic questions to get out of the way. I'm always curious where marathon runners are coming from. How long have you been running for and where are you based now?
I am a fairly new runner, actually. I started running in about 2015. I live in Orlando, Florida. I am in a circle about 5 miles from Disney World, 5 miles from SeaWorld, and 5 miles from Universal Studios. So some people call it the tourist circle, but it's there's never a lack of anything to do, and there's never a lack of company who want to come and visit you.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm sure everyone wants to bring their kids down there and have a happy time. I consider that a happiness circle there with Disney World.
Exactly.
It's a marathon that's actually on my list. A lot of our guests say it's one of the most fun ones. Have you run that one before?
Not the marathon. My very first half was one of the Disney halves. And that was just amazing. So I've run several of the Disney races. They're really nice.
Awesome. I mean, with all those characters and the fun atmosphere, it has to be a good experience. So tell me a little bit about your first marathon race. When was it and which one was it?
So my first marathon was the 26.2 with Donna. It's called the Breast Cancer Marathon. And just a little background to that. In 2009, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. On the same day, a year before that, I had lost my mom to the very same breast cancer. And
Roxanne. And that's, I lost my mom to cancer as well. So I know it's a tough disease out there.
Nothing like losing our moms for sure.
Yep.
It was a fairly late stage when it was diagnosed. So statistics that they gave me were not really good. There was a 90% chance that it was going to be back in 5 years and be back with a vengeance. And so, I was dealing with that in 2009, and I went through the chemotherapy and the radiation and all of that. And then in 2015, a friend of mine was a Galloway runner. I'm a Galloway runner, run, walk, run. And she encouraged me to run with her a 5K for breast cancer. And I had never run and said, I can't do that. I'll get out of breath. Well, she ran with me and we did that first 5K with the Galloway method run walk. And so it was just a wonderful race and it got me started into running. And after that, I run, walk, did the Galloway method for several races, 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons. And then in 2017, I had two cardiac arrests and was brought back to life both times. It's a condition that only 5% of the population actually live to tell about. It's third degree heart block. And most people just drop and they are not brought back at all. They're just in the wrong place when they drop. It's an electrical short in your wiring of your heart. But I didn't, and I was still here. So after that, it was kind of, they were a little leery about going out and running again. And so I was a little behind on that. But with the run walk, I got back into it, got running again. So all that being said, in 2019, the 26.2 with Donna Marathon came about, and it happened to fall on the 10-year anniversary of my starting chemotherapy for my breast cancer, for which they gave me only 5 years that it would be back. So it was very fitting. I had no intentions on doing a marathon, but I thought, if this is the one to do, this is not coincidence that it falls on a 10-year anniversary of something this this big. So I signed up for it, and that was my first marathon in 2019.
Sounds like the stars just align there. And sometimes the universe speaks to you, especially, sort of with those spiritual connections that you have and intense life moments. So tell us a little bit about that marathon. I think, in the community the running community in Florida is very well known, but tell maybe some of our listeners from all across the world about that specific race.
That race is just, if you know anybody, a family member, a friend, and who doesn't know someone who has been affected by breast cancer, was started 10 years ago by a lady named Donna Deegan, who is a four-time breast cancer survivor now. And she's a runner. She's a marathon runner herself who lives in Jacksonville, who started that race. And that race not only raises money and support for breast cancer research, but a good percentage of that money goes to women who are fighting breast cancer now. They have childcare needs. They're missing work because of treatment. They have children who have to be cared for while they go to appointments, groceries. So much of her race money that she raises also goes to that. So that race alone is just a very meaningful, and it gets some support out there for breast cancer. So, but the race course itself is just phenomenal. The entire course through Jacksonville, Ponte Vedra up there in Jacksonville, is lined with support of people for breast cancer. I mean, there's guys out there in pink tutus. You know, there's dogs that are all dressed up. I wasn't complaining about the scenery one little bit. There are.
Sounds like a fun atmosphere for a good cause.
It was amazing. And, you know, the support in the race, the people in the race, is just amazing, because not only are there people who are running for a loved one, there are people who are going through it now, who are walking or pushing through or have just finished treatment. So it's very real, a very humbling, gratifying race to do. It was one of the hardest things I had ever done. The winds were just incredible. And I had not trained in wind, of course, but you know, as I went along that race and seeing so many people who were survivors, and recent survivors, even getting out there and doing that, was just that, it was just so motivating to do and so very rewarding. So very rewarding. I had friends and family at the finish line who are cheering on, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful race. I would recommend that marathon as a top marathon for anyone who has a loved one or a friend or has been affected by it or just has a heart for that, because the funds and what she does for breast cancer are amazing.
It's amazing. And I think, I mean, it's impacted so many people. I actually just thought about my own grandmother, who I never had a chance to meet. She passed away when my father was unfortunately 16 years old. So, wow. You know, I never even had a chance to meet her. I've heard some amazing stories. So it's an amazing cause. And I think that's something beautiful about marathon running, is that there's always people supporting causes out there, you know, and getting out there to run and fundraise for research and trying to really just build on the enthusiasm of the race. What was it like with the humidity in Jacksonville for a marathon race? Because I've never done a hot weather test. I did LA, but never something so humid like Jacksonville. How did you sort of compensate with the heat?
Well, you know, the humidity is always here in Florida. And actually, the Donna race was in February. So that's probably some of our lowest humidity ever, which is probably about 80%. I mean, we train in 90, 95, 96, 97% humidity here in Florida. So humidity it's just always there. It's just, a part of. So actually, when it was a bit windy and a little less humid, that was a plus for us to do a marathon in February was actually a plus. But the humidity here is a killer. That is probably the hardest part of training in Florida.
I feel like that's a game changer right there. So tell me, so how many marathons have you run since this first one in Jacksonville?
So I have only run a total of 3 marathons, and that's since I started.
Don't cut yourself short there. I've also done 3 marathons, and that's 3 more than 99.5% of the population out there. So give yourself some credit.
Right.
Well, so what are the other 2?
So I have done Marine Corps both times. I did Marine Corps in October. Not this October, the previous one, the one that was, the weather was unbelievable. I mean, we were running through 6 inches of water. The rain for the first 20 miles was just incredibly, just pouring down rain during the Marine Corps marathon that year. And then it stopped raining at about mile 20, and it was Florida weather. It was about 85 degrees and out on the highway, and people were just really having a hard time because you could tell that many of them had not trained in that heat. So that was done in person, that Marine Corps. And then this past October, I did the Marine Corps again virtually, because that Marine Corps marathon is probably as special to me as the Donna.
Why is it so special? Well,
so the Marine Corps, my youngest son was in the Marines. He served a tour in Iraq.
Thank you for his service.
And he got back from Iraq, and then he was deployed to Afghanistan, and he was over in Afghanistan for about 7 weeks, and he was severely burned in a Humvee when their Humvee took some fire over in Afghanistan. So he was flown back, and he spent 2 years in and out of Brooke Army Medical Center in surgeries and rehabs and all of that. So the Marine Corps is very, very special to me. And not only that, but there is some friends from our church who lost 7 of their people in over in Afghanistan as well. So it's just, and to know personally people like that just make that race even more meaningful. So that ranks right up there with the Donna Marathon for me.
That's amazing. And another great cause that you just mentioned there. I think it's almost, unfortunately, you know, in America these days, almost less of our population serves or has connections to the military as marathon runners, you know. So it's grateful for his service, and obviously all of our service members out there. They put their, you know, their bodies and their lives on the line for our freedom. So I really appreciate that. And the Marine Corps is one that a lot of our guests have actually spoke about. I used to live in DC right after college for a little bit, and it was just such a beautiful place to run. And I could only imagine doing a marathon there. So that might be one of my next ones on my list there. So Roxanne, tell me, after you run these marathons, what's something you learned about yourself that you just didn't know beforehand?
Well, I guess, you know, I'm a slow runner for one thing. And so I learned that, you know, I can stay out on a 7-hour training run and do that physically. That's one thing I learned physically. But I think the more important thing about that is that I really learned about the why I run marathons. And I knew the why before, why I would run, why I would do 5Ks and 10Ks, because I could, because I was grateful, because I had a second chance at life. But the why for marathon running became about, you don't just run a marathon just for fun. I mean, some people might, but it's a big endeavor, as you know, and it's a lot of training. So you need to have a reason. Like, you can just sign up a 5K for fun. You can sign up for a 10K for fun. But when you sign up for a marathon, when I sign up for a marathon, I need to have a why. And the why for the Donna, I explained there, and the why for the Marine Corps. But I learned on my marathons that my why ended up being an inspiration for so many people, because a lot of people, when you tell them you run, they're like, oh, okay, cool. They think, you know, you run around your neighborhood. But when you say you run a marathon, they always say, oh, I could never do that. But they look at me at my age, at 67, at my health history, and they say, you could do it. And I'm able to say, I can do it. You can do it. You're 30 years younger. You know, the run walk method will get you there. And I have been able to be an inspiration to not only those who have been through breast cancer and are thinking that maybe they're just never going to be back to where they were. They can see that, yes, you can be, you know, there is life after that, and it can be, and it's good. But an inspiration for others to become runners and even think about marathoning. So for me, that's a big part of the why, is to encourage others that marathon is, it is an undertaking, but it's not impossible. It is doable.
I love that. And I think you hit it on the head, Roxanne. That's why I call the podcast Why We Marathon. It's those big whys that, you know, really what motivates people to run at the end of the day. It's those big whys. So I really love that perspective that you bring to the table. So what would you say was your favorite marathon out of the three?
So I would probably say the Donna, because it was my first and there was so much support. And on your first marathon, you know, there's family there and friends there cheering you on, and the crowd support. And at one point I ran next to a man who looked exactly like Elvis Presley, dressed in pink. He had the whole hair thing going on and everything. And there was a lot of fun in that. The Marine Corps also was just had to have been my favorite, because that Blue Mile, if you've ever get a chance to run the Marine Corps, the Blue Mile is just an intensely emotional experience. Even in the pouring down rain of the 2019 when I ran, it is just a mile of solid, it's quiet. You only hear footsteps, because it is lined with family members who are holding up signs and remembering their loved ones who died for us. And it's just such an emotional experience. Not to mention the sights of all around the Marine Corps, running by Arlington and Iwo Jima and some of that makes us, you know, proud to be Americans. But just the Blue Mile, I think for me, made that on top also of one of my most special races.
That's amazing. And I think that's a special moment too in the race, you know, that most races don't have a Blue Mile.
No. And, you know, the other thing about that Marine Corps, as I'm thinking about it, the finish line, when you're going through the finish line, you are greeted by a long row of about 25 new Marines in their uniforms all along. And they're saying, thank you. Thank you for running. Thank you for running. And I'm thinking, no, thank you. Thank you for your service. This is the other way around, guys. So that was also another thing that made that such a wonderful race for me.
Definitely. I think the humility of the Marines, I mean, that's amazing to see them thanking you, and you're totally right. We should be thanking them. So that's a great, great race. I really want to get out there and try that out. I am curious, do you listen to music when you run, or any playlist suggestions, or what sort of your strategy around music, podcasts, nothing?
So I guess if you're a 4-hour or a 3-hour marathoner, you would just listen to music. But if you're a 6.5-hour marathoner like I am, you have choices. So I kind of alternate between audiobooks, and I'll listen to some podcasts, and I will listen to some music, especially on those long training runs that you're doing slower than your race pace. I have generally alternate to keep it interesting. So I have a few favorite podcasts that I listen to, and have a good audiobook to listen to, and then put some music on. So yeah, just kind of eclectic there.
And, you know, that's a great point. You're running for so long, 6.5 hours. I mean, it's amazing, you know, to see that perseverance after so much time. How do you sort of feel, you know, after a certain 3 or 4 hour mark? Because even me, you know, I've run marathons between 4:11 and 4:38. So, you know, I can't imagine. Yeah. I thought that was pretty long though, but I'm like, what's it like out there after 5 hours, you know, less runners on the course? What's that feeling like after so many hours of running and walking and putting that toll on your body?
Right. Well, you know, thanks again to the Galloway method, the run walk method. And like I said, on your training runs, you don't do them at race pace. So I can be out anywhere between 7 and 8 hours. On my marathons, they take me 6 hours, 20 minutes to run. So I'm out there for a long time. But with the run walk, that's the beauty of the run walk method. When I say that, you know, I won't say that you're not tired, but there's no pain. There's no there shouldn't be any injury. I've never had any injury. If I tried to run that solid, I would be hurting. And being out there for that amount of time is, you know, whenever you get to 20 miles in a marathon, you're obviously pushing that. But with the Galloway method, you train up to 26 or 29 even. So you've already done that distance. Your body knows that distance. You just keep on doing what you've been doing in training. And since you're able to recover with a walk break, it's just not as hard on your body. So
another fellow Galloway run, walk, run, or walk, run, walk method. We've had a lot of Galloway guests on here, and Jeff himself, which has been an amazing experience. So thank you for sharing that, Roxanne. I am curious, do you run or train with a group or use any specific running technology?
Well, that's so I'll start with the technology because I'm a techie person to begin with. So whatever it is, watches and headphones and whatever, I love finding out about those and trying them out. But there are two gadgets, I would call them, that I absolutely cannot do without in my running. And one is called a squoosh band. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but
I haven't. Tell me about it.
It's S-Q-O-O-S-H, and it's a little sweatband that you wear on your wrist or right around your hand. And of course, when you live in Florida and you've got this humidity, you know, you definitely need one, but it fits right on your hand and it soaks up more moisture. And it's not like you have to carry a sweat rag with you or carry one in your pocket. It fits right on your hand. And I couldn't run without it. So that little squoosh band, it goes with me everywhere I go, especially in this Florida humidity.
I love that.
And the other gadget is a Gym Boss. That's a timer that we use for run, walk, run. And you can program it to beep or vibrate on your wrist or beep loud when it's time to change. So if you're doing a 30-second run and a 30-second walk, you know it beeps when it's time to run. It beeps when it's time to walk, just similar to HIIT intervals that some people use that for. And you can change it on the fly. So if I'm running a marathon and I started out at a minute run and 30 seconds walk, but I feel like I'm getting a little tired, I can quickly change it to 30 and 30. 30-second run, 30-second walk, and it beeps. And so those two gadgets go everywhere I go. They're invaluable to me, more invaluable, I think, than my watch or my phone or my headphones or any of that. So those are my gadgets.
I love those tips, Roxanne. I haven't heard of the squish band, so we'll definitely be promoting that. And then yes. How about just people that you run and train with? Any groups or you mentioned Jeff Galloway. Are you part of a Galloway group down there in Orlando?
Well, we have a Galloway group, but they're about 40, 45 minutes from me downtown, which isn't too too much, but I'm a nurse and I do 12-hour shifts. So the hours that they practice is not doable for me. I tried to start a running group in my neighborhood and I got a running group started, but it was hard to do because everybody was a different pace and everybody kind of wanted to do their own thing. So I'm a solo runner, but, and always have been, but that being said, my support comes from some online groups, Facebook groups. One is Extra Mile podcast group, an Extra Mile group. And one is a Jeff Galloway group. And these are friends that, we train together, we share about our training, we share our bad runs, we share our good runs, and they become friends. And actually, we do races in person as races start to open up here, we'll do. And during the Marine Corps Marathon, this past one, which was virtual, which is stinks when you're trying to do a marathon virtually, I did Facebook Live with several of the members from our Extra Mile group. I got texts and phone calls saying, you only got 5 miles left. So though they're not running there next to me on the road, they are so there and they are, the best running buddies ever because, your friends, they just don't get it sometimes if they haven't run a marathon, but.
Definitely. So. I know that feeling all too well, but it's amazing that technology now allows you to do, virtual high fives and shout outs in your headphones. So I'm really glad you're doing that, Roxanne. Do you see any benefits though of running solo?
I know that I've never really had a chance to experience running with someone else. I'm actually running a half marathon tomorrow morning with another person from one of the groups that I'm in, the Extra Mile group. It's and we'll do a half marathon together. So we're about the same pace and we are run walkers. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that does. I ran a long training run with another friend from the Extra Mile group from Atlanta, and we got to chat along the way. And I'm sure that if you had someone that ran your pace and your intervals, it would be very motivating. And I kind of envy people that I see who have training partners where they're about the same pace. But so far I don't have that, and, you know, and sometimes I get out there and honestly, I just want my music or my time to reflect on the gratitude for being out there and being able to do it. So there's some runs that I'm just grateful for the solo.
Amazing, Roxanne. I love that perspective. Now, the podcast is called Why We Marathon, and I want to wrap things up here. You sort of hit on it earlier, but you know, in 2 to 3 sentences, can you just sum up why you run marathon races?
Well, my why is to be able to be an inspiration to others, whether they're my age. Sometimes being older is an incentive for younger people to run. My health history. I feel like everything that happens to us, even the bad stuff, happens for a reason. And if we can just use it to be an encouragement for others, that's my why. So each time I do a marathon, the why of trying to encourage others and the why of why I'm doing that specific race. So like the Donna Marathon, I put out on my Facebook page and also for the Marine Corps Marathon, that if you have someone that I can run for during this race, please message me their name, message me a story about them or whatever. And during that race, I had those names written out on a piece of paper. And each mile, I would think about, honor, pray for those people. So that's why I do it, exactly why I do it.
That's beautiful, Roxanne, and a great idea. I've heard some people dedicate a song for every mile to, you know, a person to make them. But I love the idea of just having a piece of paper. We had a guest, Sherry Witt, that writes people's names on, you know, her leg on a laminated paper. It really is all about who you run for and the why. And I'm glad, Roxanne, you shared your story. You're a true inspiration. I mean, battling breast cancer yourself, having your mother go through breast cancer, running at your age. I mean, it's an inspiration to people like me whenever I turn, you know, left and right at the starting gate, of a marathon race. I'm always like, oh my gosh, if these older folks are doing it, I'm 30, I'm young, I should easily be able to do the marathon. So you really are a true inspiration. And thank you for sharing your story today. And thank you for all of our guests for listening. This is Why We Marathon. I'm your host, Alex Ellman. Please rate and review our podcast on iTunes. And you can also find us on Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, and all of the major networks. Follow us on Instagram at Why We Marathon, and please visit www.whywemarathon.com to see additional stories, photos, and show notes from each episode. Thanks so much.